Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Hi, this is Amy Barker.
And this is Richard Gray.
And from the Geek Actually Studios, this is the podcast Pillow Fort. Coming up today,
we're going to talk about what's happening in the world of podcasts.
And we'll send two podcasts into the SmackDown.
We'll have our first inductee into the Pillow Fort Hall of Fame.
And we'll finish up with things we learned this week. So grab your headphones, a tall drink, and join us in the Pillow Fort. Hey.
Welcome to our fort.
Oh, I can't believe we're actually doing this.
No, I know. We've been talking about it for so long.
I know. I think it might have been a happy hour.
Yeah. We were probably not sober when we were doing this. But why are we doing this, Amy?
I don't know. And why are we doing it sober?
That's
the real question.
Okay, we'll fix this next time. If there's a next time, we'll fix this.
That's true. We'll start with shots.
So what are we all about, Amy?
Well, the podcast Pillow Fort came about. See if I can actually say things properly today.
At least the name of the show.
Well, that would help.
Yeah.
Because... whilst you're a podcaster,
yes,
I would say I'm a podcast fangirl.
Podcastee.
Yeah. A long-time listener, first-time caller. And I'm always looking for something new to listen to. And I thought, well, you know, there's got to be something out there that I can listen to find things to listen to.
It's like a little recommend. Like, it's like a book club, but for your ears.
Yeah.
I know we've used that tagline on one of our other shows. I can't use that here.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll cut that out in post. But yeah, so... we wanted to get together and talk about the things that we love about podcasts and maybe find some new things.
Yeah, because I'm also in the same boat. I sort of really got into podcasting because I started doing it.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know a lot about podcasting until our producer, David. Hello, David.
Hello, David.
Is who you will know from our other shows, Geek Actually, Behind the Panels and so forth. I didn't really know a lot about podcasting before that, and I didn't really listen to them much as well.
Right.
But since then, in those 3 years, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. You recommended a bunch to me, and so I'm listening to a lot more now. But you're right. There's no place to really go to listen about, to hear. Not so much reviews of podcasts, but kind of just unmitigated fan service.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you like this, then you'll like that.
Yeah, that kind
you
of
know,
thing.
Not the snarky kind of horrible stuff.
No.
But also because this is actually the 10th year of podcasting.
Wow.
I didn't realize that until very recently that it was started in 2004.
I was going to say 1994, and I said, no, that's 20 years
no,
ago, Richard.
No, because the 90s were more than 10 years ago. But yeah, so we thought this was a good idea to just get together, and we always start these conversations with, on this podcast I heard last week,
that's
I
true.
Heard this section of blah, 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 and that's how it always starts with a lot of our conversations not being recorded. So that's why we're here.
And why are we called the Pillow Fort, Amy?
Oh, why are we called? Well, we'll find out the sort of genesis of that later.
When we talk about our Hall of Fame inductee,
absolutely.
Our very first Hall of Fame inductee.
Absolutely. But I think it's important to remember that listening to a podcast is something that is kind of private. You know, it's not like going to the film with your friends or watching TV with your family. It is something that's a little bit private, a little bit, you know, just for me.
Yeah. It's one of the best forms of pleasure. You stick entirely in your ear.
Yeah.
Apart from Q-tips, which I quite enjoy.
But if you stick them in too far, then you get that sort of pleasure, pain sort of experience. Yeah, there's that.
Just leave that one on the table.
Yeah, leave it right there. Shall we move on to the news?
I think we should have a little bit of news.
So starting out, we just last week missed, because we weren't there. We were here.
We weren't in LA.
No,
mostly,
no. Was the LA Podfest, which was September 28th I have September 28th to September 28th on my notes here.
A whole day. 24 hours of podcasting.
I know. I think it was a bit longer than that. But it was in Hollywood, and all the big names were there. This is why I'm jealous, why I wasn't there. It was Aisha Tyler was there with Girl on Guy.
You sold me already.
Mark Maron was there with WTF. Pop My Culture. Have you heard them?
Pop My Culture.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And the Mental Illness Happy Hour, which is a good... I know. It doesn't sound like it should be happy, but it was there. It was. It is. And they were there. So the thing that I would probably think what's going to come out of that is you're going to hear a lot of live podcasts from the LA Podfest. So I know they were recording lots of stuff. There was lots of panels. And also there was this really great, from LA Weekly, there was a flow chart for what comedy show you should be listening to. And we will have to link to that because it is pretty hysterical. Because it starts you out with, do you want to listen to a... Oh, wait a minute. I just got it up here. should you be listening to, do you like to listen to things that are more about a comedian talking themselves, or do you want to listen to a story, all that kind of business? But the LA Weekly linked to that, and we'll link to that in our show notes.
Yes, and you, you can find it. Actually, we've got podcastpillowfort.com.
We do.
We have a website already.
No way.
Yeah, first episode out, we've already got a website.
Shut up.
Yeah, and for some reason, the combination of words podcast and pillowfort, no one had used before.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprising.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So we go, yeah, that sounds interesting. It's actually interesting because podcasts have become big business again. Well, maybe again. Well, maybe for the first time. Podcasts have been floating around for a while, as you said, and they sort of went in and out of favor a little bit. But there seems to be this revival of podcasts, not least of which because smartphones are ubiquitous.
Of course.
Which is what this Guardian article is all about. This Guardian article said there's an average of 1.5 million listeners a month download 99% Invisible, which is one of our favorite podcasts.
Oh, I love
podcasts,
that one.
A podcast
Roman
that
Mars.
You got me involved in, yeah. So this is just one podcast alone. Now, I don't want to talk about the film too much because I went and saw it this week, Tusk.
That's right.
Which is Kevin Smith, who is actually billed in the film as podcaster and director Kevin Smith.
Of course.
And his hero, his lead character in the film, is a podcaster.
No way.
So you've got that. But it's almost his avatar because he actually talks in this show, talks in the film about the guys bragging about going, I made 100,000 in advertising alone last year and I've got so many downloads. We did all these live shows and I'm thinking, I would like some of that podcasting
dollar.
Well,
yeah, give me some of that pie.
But if you go to The Guardian, there's
pie.
There's podcasting industry starts to fulfill its financial potential if you're looking for the article on The Guardian. And it's interesting that The Guardian actually have a subcategory under media of podcasting news.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
So there you go. So it's interesting and they're talking, and the article goes into quite detail, a lot of stats and things that I won't get into today.
Right.
And they talk a lot about 99% Invisible as one of the best examples of this. And it is an excellent show if you haven't listened
brilliant.
To that.
It's
a design podcast.
It is.
But don't think you have to be really into design or architecture or things like that. It's just if you listen to Roman Mars's voice all day long.
I could.
It sends you a lullaby. Not that he's boring. He's just got this really gentle voice.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, you know, I do love Ira Glass, but Roman Mars.
Yeah. No, Roman Mars is the business.
He is.
But, Amy, there's also a couple of new podcasts that have caught our eye.
There is.
First of all, mention has actually been out for a couple of weeks. It's the Daily Show podcast.
The Daily Show without
Jon Stewart. Yeah. So if you watch The Daily Show on Comedy Central in America or Comedy Channel here in Australia, you'll know the format. It's comedy current affairs show that has Jon Stewart as its lead, and they have guests and interviews and they have live cuts to correspondents and you don't know in a tight half hour produced show, but there is a battalion of writers
behind
that.
It's amazing how many people do work on that show.
So this is all those people, and there's no one host on the show. Every week there's two new hosts. And they sort of interview each other about their role in The Daily Show. And sometimes they'll have a correspondent like Jason Jones or
Jessica Williams. Have you had a chance to listen to any of them? What do you think so far?
Three episodes. They're really good. If you're really interested in the writing process.
Yes.
On the very first episode, they had Jay Haviland, who's got his own podcast, The Writer's Block. Another great one
such
podcast.
Such a good podcast.
So if you're listening into that kind of thing, hearing writers and creators talking about their craft with each other.
Right.
Kind of like what Marc Maron does on WTF or Nerdist does.
Yes.
But with a comedic bent, but they get into some quite detailed process on there. So if you're interested in that, that's definitely one to listen to.
The one thing that I think is going to be interesting long term with that podcast is because that rotating host.
Yeah.
You know, I think you make that connection with a host
that's
after a while. And I'm going to be curious to see how that plays out for them.
It'd be nice if they had that one thing. But then again,
continuous,
But then again, The Daily Show's correspondents, with the exception of Jon Stewart.
Right.
That has been a rotating roster for years. I think Jason Jones is probably the longest serving person on that show now.
Right.
Because one guy that just started, Michael Che, I think his name is, was on there for all of 3 months and then left to do the weekend update on SNL. So it's hard in that industry to keep regular hosts. But then again, we talked about Nerdist and stuff. They've had these continuous shows for 500 episodes or something.
That's amazing.
Ridiculous.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other new one is one you found because it's already started charting before the first episode
was
out.
That's right. There was only a sample out and it was already on the charts as one of the top podcasts. And we're like, how is this possible? It's not even out yet. And you found that there was a little sample out and it's called Serial. And it's from the This American Life group. It's produced by This American Life. And the interesting thing about Serial is that it's not just the telling the whole story in the one podcast. They're going to tell the story over a series of podcasts. Yeah. So the first two episodes are out. The first one's an hour and the second one's half an hour.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, and they're telling the story of a murder. So this true life crime kind of stuff. And this kid that's been convicted of this murder, these high school students, and what's happened with them. And the one thing I was curious about, and I'll see how this plays out, is are they going to limit it? So is it going to be they're going to make sure that they always do 8 episodes, or do they just play it as long as they need to tell this one story?
It'd be interesting, actually. Yeah. Because this first story that's interesting, it's about someone who claims he's falsely accused of murder. So I'm having a little trouble with the subject matter.
Yes. But will that turn people off? If they don't like that one subject matter, then they won't listen to the rest of it.
And it's not just storytelling, because she's involved herself. The host has involved herself in the story.
Yeah.
So she's become part of it and in injecting her own opinion on it as well. So that's an interesting way. It's not just a straight documentary in that sense. It is very much the storyteller and the story becoming.
Yes.
Which you're seeing a lot in story-driven podcasts.
Yes, yes.
99% Invisible, they do it as well. It's like, I'm here on the site talking to this guy.
Yes.
And I'm fascinated this way. Now I want to find this thing out.
Yes, you know, yes,
that,
yes.
That kind of,
and that long form narrative. It's not just little snippy, you know, little snippets. It's getting into a little bit more of the meat of the story.
The story driven podcast. It seems to be very popular at the moment.
Yeah.
And they go as long as they need to.
Yeah.
Like, again, sorry to keep using it as an example, but it's a great example of the form. 99% Invisible can go as little as 15 minutes, or it can go for the full 45 minutes, depending on how much they have to say about the topic.
That's right.
So, I will mention it again before the show is done.
Really?
Because,
again?
I did learn something from it this week.
Okay. Well, if you have to.
But, if you're looking for the charts, I don't think we've got them up in front of us here at the moment, but, the iTunes charts and the Stitcher charts are a good way to find out what's trending at the moment.
Absolutely.
What's popular.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I noticed with my phone at the moment is that with new software updates, the podcast app is now a part of my phone.
Oh.
So it's there, and I think that's another reason the rise of podcasts have happened. So, and it's one of those undeletable apps.
Sure.
So I think podcasting will more people will be going, what does this button do?
Yeah.
You know, and discovering things that they didn't discover before. So hopefully they'll discover us, and we can help them discover more things.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Well, Amy, the meat of this show is going to be what we're lovingly calling a podcast smackdown. So do you think we should get into our first smackdown?
I think it's time for the smackdown.
Oh, yeah. And introducing in the blue corner, coming in at 85 episodes and wearing the yellow trunks, it's Mike and Tom Eat Snacks with Michael Ian Black and Tom Kavanagh. And in the red corner, coming in at 182 episodes and wearing the yellow trunks, it's A Taste of the Past with Linda Palacio. Now let's have a good clean fight, everybody. It's Podcast Smackdown.
Ooh, very nice. And with the bell ringing in my ears.
It's still going a little bit, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Sorry about that. We haven't just given you all tinnitus.
Oh,
it's, or tinnitus.
Tinnitus? Which one is it? I don't know.
It's probably a podcast telling us about that. Yeah.
That's right. We'll get corrected on that.
So the first show is Mike and Tom Eat Snacks.
Oh, my God. I'd heard about this show, but I hadn't
Mates.
Mates.
Yeah.
Which I think is a better description of the show, really. So Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, you're right, it's Michael Ian Black and Tom Kavanagh, and it's one of these Nerdist podcasts, and they say it's a 40-minute podcast, although, right. And so they say they take snack time seriously.
They're snackologists.
They are snackologists. And so they pick a snack, they eat a snack, they rate a snack.
What are they about?
They pick a snack, they eat a snack, and they rate a snack.
They're about...
But, oh yes, that's right.
They're about respect for women.
Respect for women.
But they talk about the snacking.
They talk about the snacking. But saying that, how much of the show is actually about snacks?
Very little of it. I mean, you probably know Tom Kavanagh from TV shows, like he was in Ed.
Ed.
And he's actually in The Flash. He's upcoming in The Flash.
Really?
He's in this character. So...
with those very, very blue eyes of his.
Yeah, very blue eyes.
Oh my God.
which you can't see on the podcast.
Sadly.
Because they have a constant argument over whether that they have viewers or not.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They do. They keep saying, have we established we got viewers? We think they're listeners. They could be viewers. And often this will be the show. They'll start something and then they'll go off into these long stories. There was one episode I was listening to recently.
Yeah.
I think it was the Raisins episode, which we have a clip from.
Yes, we do.
But they were they started talking about raisins.
Yes.
And they went off into this whole other story where they were talking about this fictional story where they're making a documentary.
A documentary.
And they ended up in Russia. With his having a sexual relationship with a documentary director.
Oh, that's right.
What would you do? And he goes, the point is, filmmakers eat raisins.
Yes.
You know? It's that kind of show.
And then at some point, they do actually eat the snack.
And it'll be very, very, very precise.
Like,
it'll be like,
literally.
It's a good box.
Yes.
It's a good box. This. Let's look at the box. In fact, we have a little clip. This is one from Raisins where they're actually describing the contents of the box.
Ah, yes.
I like that there's a little warning here.
What's
it says raisins are mechanically stemmed and may contain an occasional grape stem or wood piece.
I'm charmed. Wood piece.
I'm charmed.
Aw, pocket full of wood pieces and spices. You're beautiful, raisins. That just makes them like, and look at the top. It says grapes and sunshine.
Just grapes and sunshine. That's all this fucker is.
Yeah. Grapes and sunshine.
God bless you.
God bless them.
God bless them.
God bless them. Well, Michael Ian Black is a comedian that I've been aware of for a long time.
Right.
He was on a show called The State, which was...
Which I don't know at all.
I know. I think I played for you at some point the $240 worth of pudding.
That's The State.
That's The State. Now, if you have not seen this, all right. If you have not seen this, I would highly recommend pausing this podcast, going to YouTube, looking up $240 worth of pudding. And checking it out.
Not $120.
No, we had the 200. We had the 240. We had to get the pudding. And so he was on The State, but he was also on Ed with Tom Cavanaugh.
Right.
So that's why I keep saying I think mates is probably the best description of the show because they are mates.
It is two people sitting around shooting the shit.
Shooting the shit, exactly. Yeah. And they've talked about things that they did. Have you listened to the Digestives?
I have listened to Digestives.
Neither have I.
But while we're talking about biscuits,
yes,
we got to talk Ginger Snaps.
Ginger Snaps.
Ginger Snaps, great episode.
I love Ginger Snaps.
Here's a little clip from Ginger Snaps.
I will concede that they definitely found, I think, just about the right balance of ginger and molasses. But I think the texture of the cookie is bad. Mm-hmm. I think there's too much snap, too much crunch, and that the whole thing tastes a little bit... like I fell into a waste pit.
So that's not going to lead on their ads.
No.
Ginger Snap makes you feel like you fell into a waste pit.
No, I wouldn't recommend that. No, no.
And then they end up coming up with this whole plan to have like this artisanal, homespun Ginger Snaps hybrid thing that they go off on. And they say, we've got these ideas if you want to pick them up.
That's right. And the point is that they can go off on these tangents forever. And
the very first episode I listened to,
yes,
they spent 15 minutes talking about the intro music and how the benefits of whether they should get the band in to do it live every week.
Yes, yes.
Or sign a nine-year contract to do that live every week.
Of course.
Or record it once, which would save time.
Yeah, but, so the ones that I listened to the potato chips one, which was pretty good. And they did talk about the oil content in the potato chips and the artisanal potato chips. They do like a bit of artisanal potato chips. But the thing that I learned was that the brown potato chip, so you do actually learn a thing or two on mates.
Yes.
The brown potato chip is not burnt.
No.
I always thought the brown potato chip was burnt.
It's got too much sugar.
Oh, wait. I'm talking about the wrong show.
You are talking about the wrong show, which brings us to Linda Palacio.
And A Taste of the Past. Taste of the Past.
That was actually the first Linda Palacio that I listened to.
Was it?
You're not going to learn anything from mates.
No.
You might learn something from mates.
You'll learn
that there could be bits of wood.
Bits of wood.
In raisins.
And raisins are raisins and sunshine. And that's it. That's all they have.
Linda Palacio's show is about as different as you can get.
Yeah. So Linda Palacio, I had to put down her list of her qualifications here because she has an amazing, if the other boys have
I didn't even know these
short,
were jobs.
I know. I want this job. The Culinary Historian of New York. She's in the New York Women's Culinary Alliance. and something I can't pronounce, and the International Association of Culinary Professionals. I want to go to their Christmas party.
The New York Women's Culinary Alliance, they were instrumental in bringing equal rights to female dishes.
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
Was the, yeah.
And yeah. So she's had all these jobs. Plus, she's worked in talk radio, and she's produced TV shows about food. So she is what, you know, people these days call a, and I say this with air quotes, a foodie. But she comes with a long list of places that actually agree
and
with
she's
her.
She's got a gentle voice.
Oh,
she talks.
God.
She's very...
Yeah.
A little bit school mom, but...
Oh, that's okay.
A little bit... I mean, she is the culinary historian of New York.
Yes,
yeah. You know, spoilers, people. We're both librarians, so we know the type.
We've been outed.
I didn't want to mention it in the first show, but we may as well do it.
Yeah, let's just get it out there.
In case people have questions, feedback at podcastpillowfort.com.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You can send that in. But this is actually a really interesting show. It's one of those shows you think. On the surface of it, you think it's not going to be. You think it's going to be boring as hell,
right?
You know, historian talking about food, but then the history of how some of those dishes,
yes,
made it to, well, in their case, America, but you know, by extension, in Australia, in some cases,
yes.
How that, you know, one of the ones was ramen.
Yes, yes.
And or even things like, for me, because I've been a vegetarian for 15 years,
the history of vegetarianism.
So we have a couple of clips here. Just to give you an example, here's one from the ramen episode, which, as she says very many times throughout the episode, you're going to feel like a hot bowl of ramen by the end of it. So let's just have a listen.
But because of this, people who were buying and selling ramen between 1945 and 1949 were often jailed. And you have a lot of occupation records of people arrested and imprisoned for selling ramen or
even
buying
just in
ramen.
A stall, even just in
a stall. These stalls were rounded up and the operators were basically jailed en masse. And so you have these records of hundreds of people jailed, and a lot of them were selling ramen, not all of them, but about 20% from what I found of the people arrested were selling ramen from the records I saw.
It's amazing.
It's so different. And I had no idea during World War II, during the food rationing, that they would do that, that you couldn't have a restaurant. And
I think we just had a call.
I know. Oh, I thought I turned that off. But that they would do that, that they wouldn't allow people to go out and congregate and have food. And that just, I was blown away by that. But coming back to what I had mentioned before about the potato chips, which I accidentally gave to the wrong podcast,
yes,
is that potato chips, when she was talking about, she had a guy on that was just talking about the history.
He wrote a book on the history of the potato chip.
A whole book on the history of potato chips, which...
Or crisps, if you prefer.
Yes. Made me really hungry.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the brown potato chips, the potato itself is not burnt.
Mm.
No.
Yeah, I want to make something clear. It's got too much sugar in it.
It has too much sugar in it, and that's why it's brown.
And I want to make something very clear for the rest of the world. Is here in Australia, we call the hot chips you get, which are kind of like fries.
Fries.
We call those chips.
Yes.
And we call the potato crisps, which you get in a packet, we call those chips, just to distinguish.
Well, you know, you get the hot and the not hot.
Yeah, I think Australians know. You want chips? No, I want some chips. Okay, cool, fine. You know, we know the difference out here.
Yes, yes.
That's, I think, the evolution of Australian language is a whole different discussion.
Oh, that's, I think that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole podcast.
That's all by itself.
Next week, we'll bring you.
Next week, from the Pillow Fort, the history of Australian language.
We haven't decided on a topic for next week yet, so maybe
that's
it.
It's
a terrific show. I'm glad you recommended this one, because we chose to do two food podcasts this week. And it's a podcast I wouldn't have thought to listen to, because I don't know. Is it the Heritage Network?
Yes.
Is that the called? Yeah.
Yes, the Heritage Network.
And I didn't even know they existed.
Me neither.
There's a whole bunch of shows on there as well. Yes. So really educational stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
It depends on her guest.
Exactly.
And often she gets calls in sometimes.
Yes.
It'll depend on the guest. But often these people are incredibly knowledgeable about one particular type of food.
Yes.
And as we said, we had ramen, we had vegetarianism was
the
really
vegetarian
interesting.
The vegetarian one was interesting,
you know,
definitely.
How it was one time, because it was, you know, you still get people. I've got a friend who always says, you know, you're one of those hippie vegetarian fellows. I said, really? It's 2014. Are you still doing this? But
and then you took your drum out and you went to a drum circle.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, there was that.
No. Well, you know, I mean, that aside, that's completely unrelated to the vegetarianism. But he was saying, like, you know, maybe vegetarianism has been around for a while, but the word itself is fairly new.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's a. I really, you know, I'm going to listen to the show. I'm going to keep listening to it.
Yeah, me too.
I definitely listen to Mates though.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, with the Linda Palacio podcast, I think it will depend on what the topic is.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to blanket listen to everything.
No.
But if it's something that I have a particular fondness for, a food that I really like, then I'll definitely get in there. But as with any time you get somebody who's an expert and writes about things, that doesn't mean they can actually talk about something.
That's true.
Sometimes, you know, they come out and they just don't.
Some people become writers for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very solitary.
But they're all 35 minutes.
Yes.
So they're all nice and short. Or thereabouts, around the half hour mark.
Yes.
So it's a nice short
concise
podcast.
Yeah.
So you do get, and you get a lot of information in that, that 30 minutes.
So, tons. Lots of good takeaways.
And
from
often
that
you
one
get a new book for your reading list by
That's
the
right
end of it. Yeah.
I always do that.
Which we'll talk about a bit later, actually, because I think it's one of the things you learned this week.
It is one of the things I learned this week. So if you had to compare the two, who would you say would listen to Mates or Taste of the Past?
If you're really into more comedy podcasts and you don't necessarily care about the content so much, like if, I don't think you'd listen to
Mates.
Comedy
isn't content.
No, but I don't think if you'd listen to Mates, you know, wanting to, if you don't necessarily care about the snacks,
the food,
like if you're one of those people who's going to sit there going, but when are they going to get to the chips?
That's right. You know? Eat something, damn you.
God damn it. You know, if that's a concern for you,
right,
you probably gonna get frustrated by Mates.
Just a little bit.
Otherwise, just go for it. Because it actually took me a couple of episodes.
Me too.
And then I was kind of like, I just want to listen to these guys. I could sit in a room with these guys talking all day.
Yeah, I want to drink with them.
Yeah.
That's my thing. That's I want to drink with them.
Well, we're in the States next year. We'll hunt them down.
But not with a gun. No.
No.
The one thing, and it was just my husband that brought this up when I was mentioning it to him, he can't stand listening to other people eat.
Oh.
It really bugs him to hear other people
chew. And they do chew a bit, yeah.
They just be warned if you are, you know, anti-hearing people. Exactly. If that bugs you, don't listen to Mates. Because
they eat live. They go, absolutely. Right. They do the whole packet opening experience.
Totally.
They describe the texture of the M&M in their mouth. The M&M's episode was fairly recent.
I didn't listen to that one.
And they talk about the benefit to the classic M&M versus the peanut M&M.
Oh, see, I'm a peanut girl.
Peanut girl.
Yeah.
One thing I like about the American, this is a sidebar.
Really? That's still a sidebar.
A sidebar. But the sidebar. the American packets of M&Ms is that they have the almost paper-like packet.
Yeah.
And here in Australia, it's this plastic that you kind of have to struggle to get open.
Yeah.
I digress. So, yeah, if you're more into history.
Yes. Yes.
And you like more of a formal structured
podcast,
and straight interview.
Yes, then Taste of the Past.
I think so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Linda knows her business.
She does.
She does.
It's very, very knowledgeable.
Yes, yes.
So it's one of those, I'm driving to work, I'm driving somewhere, let's have that on, learn something.
Absolutely.
Let's make driving a learning experience.
That's right. You don't want to waste that commute of yours.
No. Because you have quite a commute.
Oh, this is why I listen to way too many podcasts.
You wanted to make your commute worthwhile.
Absolutely. And with that,
it's time for their very, very, very first, entry into the Podcast Hall of Fame. Amy, tell me, this is a podcast that you introduced me to. I think quite a number of podcasts we've spoken about today you introduced me to.
Yeah,
but I knew of the host
from
his work on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Because I've been watching that for a good 20 years.
Oh, who hasn't?
And I knew
where
of
have
him,
you been? If
and
you
I
haven't.
Didn't know what happened to him. You know what's happened to most of the other people from
the original
crew. But Greg Proops has a podcast.
He most certainly does. I would marry this podcast if it were legal.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's, you know, my husband I'd have to deal with too. But yes.
And I think Proops and his wife would probably say something about that as well.
Yeah, maybe.
But he'd probably say something like, you know what, kittens, let
kittens
me hip you to this vibe.
That's right. So his podcast is The Smartest Man in the World. And having said that, it's kind of like saying when you have a book that this is the best book about, you know, needlepoint or whatever. It always is a tall order to say this is the best thing ever. But saying Greg Proops is the smartest man in the world, well, he's a pretty clever guy.
He's a clever dude.
Yeah. He can really weave a story. And the thing that I love about this, he does it live primarily. Yes. He does occasionally do a few from the Portraits of Proopitude or the Fortress of Proopitude or the Porpoise of Fruititude.
Yes. Yeah.
So he primarily does them as live stand-up, and they can go for anywhere from an hour to sometimes 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he can weave a story, go in, and talking about sidebars, he starts a story. It was so hard to clip for this from this show because his sidebars go for days.
Yeah. I've got a couple of clips here. I'll play at least one of them.
Oh my God, they go and go and go.
Let's give listeners a little bit of a taste of what the Proop sounds like in his fortress.
It was A Black Dog by Led Zeppelin, if you remember that one, off Led Zeppelin 4, which is often also called Zoso, I believe, because there's these with mystic runes on the front. You know, when you want mystic runes and when you want to talk about what it's like to live in Middle Earth and when you want an elf's experience, I think Led Zeppelin is the group to look to, because 4 millionaire debauched, fucking drugged up, methed out rock stars are going to fucking key you in to what Frodo's about. And if you remember, the plot of almost every song on Led Zeppelin 4 is something about the Hobbit or Middle Earth or whatever. I believe Stairway to Heaven is all about Galadriel and all that jazz. But Black Dog was the one that went, "Hey, Mom, I said the way you move, I'm gonna make you sweat, I'm gonna make you groove." So it really cut through early in the morning.
Yeah, so that's kind of where most shows go.
Absolutely.
Very quickly.
And he's like the man of a million voices. Mm. He's done tons of voice work over the years. Mm. So he was in, probably not most notably, but he was in Stripperella, if you remember that, with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
I know. And he did three parts in Nightmare Before Christmas, which I didn't even know until we were prepping for this show.
No. Because he's not credited.
No, not at all. But my favorite thing that he ever did, he was in Star Wars Ep 1. I know.
Oh, he was the two-headed racing announcer.
Exactly.
For the pod racing.
Pod racing, and now he podcasts. Ah.
The pod racing pillow fort.
Yes. Funny how that works. And he will go into voices and sing songs. And I have to say, Greg Proops is, shall we say, an acquired taste.
Yeah.
You'll either love him or you'll hate him.
Yeah.
You may find his voice eternally annoying.
Personal story about the first time I listened to this. I was walking up the street. The first time I was starting to get into it, and I was really getting sucked into a show, and a bird flew into my head. So that's just an aside there. But
you stuck with it.
I stuck with it. And that's so good, was his podcast, that
the bird attack did not put you off.
The bleeding and the bird attack did not put me off from listening to this podcast.
But it's not just a comedy podcast. It's it's what we love about him, and it's his incredibly quick wit, and he talks a lot about news, but he also does this boring preachy part, which is the thing that kind of keeps me going with him, because his politics and my politics sort of hand in hand.
It's a very good, there's a very big Venn diagram.
Yeah, huge.
It's almost a circle.
Almost a one complete thing. There's very little outlying things. But I heard him recently, he was talking about how the letters that he likes the most are the ones from people who don't agree with him politically, they still learn something, that they still come away understanding that somebody else's point of view. And that's what he really wants to get into. And he's also very into show tunes. And
I love it when he just starts singing in the middle of it.
Goes and goes. And he also is really into baseball, of all things in this world. Like, I would have never picked that one.
We've got another clip demonstrating his love of baseball when he talks about a fairly famous figure. Let's go.
Let me hip you to a couple things. First of all, he was born in the South, but he was raised in Pasadena. His brother, Mac, was on the 1936 Olympic team and finished second to Jesse Owens in Berlin in that famous 100-yard dash. Mac later finished his illustrious career as a janitor here in Southern California, where he wore his Olympic jacket to work every day, out of pride. Jackie attended UCLA and was a four-letter athlete there, went to the Rose Bowl, played on a team with Woody Strode, who you've seen in many movies, including Mario Van Peebles' awesome 80s Western posse with Big Daddy Kane. Woody Strode lived long enough to be in that fucking movie. And another player, Kenny Washington. They all were famous football players. That's why Jackie got picked. He was an officer in the Army. When he was in the... this fucking completely tossed my salad. If I could find it in here, I'll die a happy person. I'm going to have to commit. When he wanted a job in professional sports, now he had been an athlete at UCLA, and he played all the sports. Baseball a little bit. He was not baseball was like his fourth best sport. There was a professional team playing in Honolulu that played once a week. The rest of the week, he worked for a construction company. They were called the Honolulu Bears. Jackie went and joined that team in 41. He left Hawaii, if you follow me, and came back to California on December 5th, 1941. On the boat, on the way back, the captain called everybody on deck and went, they've just bombed Pearl Harbor. So he missed being in Honolulu. That I was just like, one, it's not going to be in the movie. Two, if you put it in the movie, it would seem fake. If I wrote that into a movie script, December 5th, 1941. Well, I guess I'd better get all my gear and go. Hurry up, Jackie, you'll be late for the boat.
That's brilliant. Oh, I love that.
And that's the thing that's one of the many things I love about this podcast is you do learn something and you laugh and sometimes you get mad and all that, but isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That was a very long clip, but it gives you an idea of how hard it is to cut Greg Proops at all. When we say it goes for 2 hours, it's him continuously talking.
Yes, yes.
One person.
And drinking. And sometimes smoking.
You can hear the ice cubes clinking in the glass as he talks. But, you know, continuously for that whole time. He doesn't barely pause for breath so much as pause for a sip.
For a sip, exactly.
And you can imagine, you know, how we've been talking for about half an hour here. There's two of us engaging. Him just doing stand-up, more than stand-up. He's doing stand-up, he's doing conversation, he's doing commentary, he's singing sometimes and just expressing whatever's on his mind.
Yes.
But it's brilliant. It somehow works. It's just a stream. It's a stream of consciousness.
It's exactly what it is. It's a stream of consciousness. And we sort of teased at the beginning of the show today that where the name of this show, podcast Pillowfort, came from. And it actually comes from Greg Proops, because he talks about how the listeners out there listening in their blanket forts or their pillow forts, these kids are listening. And if they're, you know, he's always worried because, well, as you heard, he's a little sweary.
Yes.
And he's worried that kids are listening to this and, you know, he likes that they're listening to this, but that their parents might not be so excited about it.
Mm.
So, you know, a little tip to the hat to the Proops dog, as he calls himself, for inspiring the name for this show. And I was listening to it. I was actually listening to him on the way over today, and I was listening to not the most recent one, but the previous one, Burroughs, and he was talking about the David Bowie exhibition that's coming up.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And he'd gone to see it. Where's your English, Amy? He'd gone to see it.
You a talker.
I know. he and his wife had seen it in London, I believe, and it had just opened up in Chicago. And I'm originally from Chicago. All my friends are seeing it at the moment, and I'm a tiny bit jealous. And he was talking about, but not so much the exhibition, but the menu from the Wolfgang Puck Cafe.
That's right.
In
LAX.
Oh God. Don't get me started about the Wolfgang Puck Cafe in LAX. But he was talking about the menu. And I said, and I don't think you agree with me on this one, that the David Bowie exhibition, they completely missed what they should have had.
Yeah.
They should have had, because all the different things on the menu are named after either parts that David Bowie had done or you know, songs, you know, and they missed one that I thought was perfect, and that was The Hunger.
Yeah.
There should have been something called The Hunger.
But do you really want to order something called The Hunger? Don't you think it'd just leave you wanting?
Maybe, but then aren't you just going to then order more?
You should have Aladdin Sane. You'll love Aladdin Sane.
That's right. Yeah. Thin White Duke, and he was going on about Sliders and how David Bowie, during the time when he was, you know, the Thin White Duke, he actually lived on heroin and ice cream for, you know, probably a good decade, and that's why his music was so good.
Yeah.
Greg Proops tells it much better than I do, and which is one of the reasons I love him so.
And so Smartest Man in the World is our first inductee into the Podcast Hall of Fame.
Yay!
Next week we'll have a sound effect or something for
that. Yeah, no, I actually kind of like that.
Yeah, we'll sample that and just play that.
There you go.
Pre-record us for those off days.
Yeah.
Well, as we said, we listen to a lot of podcasts, and sometimes we learn stuff listening to those podcasts. So here's a section we like to call What I Learned This Week.
I'm learning.
Okay, I said I'd mention it again. 99% Invisible was a podcast that I listened to. The most recent episode was fascinating.
I am waiting for you to pronounce this.
I'll see if I can remember my German schools from high school.
Okay.
They were talking about an Austrian artist and designer. Here we go.
Drum roll, please.
Tassendasser Friedensreich Regentag Dunkelbund Hundertwasser, which translates to multi-talented piece. Talsendasa, Friedensreich, Ragentag, Dunkelbund, Hundewasser. I'll say that three times quickly. No.
Yeah.
Which translates to multi-talented, peace-filled, rainy day, dark-colored, hundred waters in German. Of course it does.
Not even easier to say in English.
No, not at all. who believed strongly in his heart of hearts, down there in his Dunkelbund, believed that, which I think means rainy day, who believed in his rainy day that straight lines were godless.
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 Not just bad. Because bad wasn't bad enough.
So he designed all these buildings that were just like curvy and colourful, and there's this big castle that he built in Vienna, I believe. It's called the Green Citadel.
Nice.
And which is, you see the photos on the 99% Invisible website. It's a trip. But what I learnt about was a thing called Fensterrecht, which is the...
Well done.
Thank you. Fensterrecht, which means right of window.
Okay.
Fenster meaning window, Recht meaning right. And it meant that you had the right, if you lived or inhabited this building, to do whatever you wanted to do to the outside of the window. And you can still, in this building, apply for the right of Fensterrecht.
So when you say the right to do anything...
Like just paint it haphazardly out the front. You know, it's like it's your space to design as you
But just
will.
The window.
Just the window,
Not
yeah.
the rest of it.
Because it's the bit that you look out onto the world with. So, yeah.
So it becomes your window to the world kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, I thought it's a really nice philosophy. The other thing I quickly want to mention, it wasn't this week's WTF with Mark
Maron.
It was Nick Frost, but I was only listening to it this week. Nick Frost, the comedian, actor, the guy who's in all the Shaun of the Dead films with Simon Pegg and so forth, nice. He lived on a kibbutz for 2 years.
No,
I didn't know this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he says that he didn't want to talk about it because he was basically asked to leave the UK. And so he went and lived in Israel for 2 years. I had no idea. And fascinating talk. Like Mark Maron manages to get stuff out of people.
He does. He can draw things out of people.
And it doesn't seem as though he does research half the time. It's going, so what? You what do you got coming out now? You know, kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
And since somehow from that point he manages to elucidate all this stuff.
Aisha Tyler's a lot like that.
Yeah,
she doesn't
do
a lot of pre-show, and whether it's laziness or, you know, they just want it to be a natural conversation, they just have this way of just drawing things out of people and getting people to just reveal these things that they've never, like that he'd lived in a kibbutz for 2 years that you've never heard in an interview
before.
Me neither. Very cool. And I learned a few things this week too.
Yes.
I start many conversations with people who are around me and go, oh, on Pop Culture Happy Hour this week. I stay that way too often, or PCHH, as they like to say. But yes, on Pop Culture Happy Hour this week, they did a show about fall books. Not falling books.
That's something you got to watch out for, though.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Kind of like drop bears. But you have to watch out for those. But fall books as in autumn. Autumnal books.
Autumnal books.
And
autumnal
they talked
tomes.
Well, that's it too. And great detectives. But the thing that I was most interested in was the fall books, because I am a reader. And
I want to hear you say this first one.
Brothers B, like, whoa, no, I'm never going to say it. No. George Clinton, as in, you know, the funk master, has an autobiography coming out. And no, I am not going to try to say it, because I will
Brothers
say...
Brothers B, yo, like, George, ain't that funkin' kind of hard on you?
Exactly. See, I'm...
I just lost whatever accent I was doing there. I lost it.
It drifted between about three. But that's okay. But the one that I was really interested in is Andrea Martin, the comedian. Her book is called Lady Parts, which I thought, you know, who doesn't want to read Andrea Martin's Lady Parts? And The Rosie Effect, which is the follow-up from The Rosie Project, which I read last year. And also one which may relate to my co-host a little bit here, which is The Gigantic Beard That Was Evil. By Stephen. Have you read that yet?
I haven't. My beard's not that big.
No.
It is evil.
Is it?
No, but it's not gigantic, but it is evil. Yeah.
Well, you may have to work on it before reading that one. So they had a really great list of books, and I'm always looking for a great list of books. So I highly recommend going back and listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour this week if you're a reader. They did talk about great detectives. I'm not so much a detective novel girl, so that sort of went right over my head. But there was also one, The Secret History of Wonder Woman, which just sounds amazing.
Yeah,
it's very culturally, you know, talks about what was happening at the time. Really, really interesting.
Oh, because the guy that originally wrote Wonder Woman was really into women's rights, but he was also really into, like, putting, you know, bondage as part, you know, this whole thing. There's a whole, I was reading about that recently in another book.
It's,
it is a fascinating
really,
story.
Really, really interesting. And the other thing that stuck with me this week is relates to a trip I'll be taking next year sometime. Hmm. And there's a small podcast that I've just found out about recently called Diz Unplugged, which the name gives away nothing. But it's a podcast
they probably
about...
probably can't use the name of the place in the
well,
podcast.
Well, they do refer to a lot of Disney stuff. So it's a podcast about Disney World, Disneyland,
yes.
Disney fans, things to do, places to go.
I'm all those things.
You are.
Yeah.
In the Venn diagram, again. and there's a thing you can do at Epcot where you basically drink from one end of Epcot Center to the other, which leads
to another thing you can do at Epcot.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah, there's that. but I found out from these guys at Diz Unplugged that at the Garden House Sake Bar in Epcot, you can get a little single serve sake cup, and if you ask them nicely at the Garden House Sake Bar, they'll personalize your little sake cup and put your name on it. It's so cute. I'm so getting one of those.
That's brilliant. The information will come in handy.
It will come in handy.
Future.
It will, definitely.
I like that.
So I can't wait, and I'm definitely, hopefully, if I'm not too, three sheets to the wind when we do this.
Yeah, because you start round at Norway,
yeah,
or wherever it is,
yeah,
and then work your way round to Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be pretty far gone.
Yeah. Well, everything happens with a few drinks in us, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Sad, but true. So those are things that definitely have stuck with me this week, and I'm hoping that I'll remember that next year when we go to Disney World. And do that.
You could write it down on something.
I could write it down on my arm.
Tattoo.
Ah.
Tattoo podcast next
tattoo
week.
Tattoo podcast. No. That would get really noisy. Mm,
yeah.
The screaming and the crying. Yeah. I had a friend who was a tattoo artist, and she had an African gray parrot, talking about sidebars. She had an African gray parrot that would mimic things.
Yes.
And this parrot learned how to mimic the sound of the tattoo gun. And you'd go in there, and there'd be nothing going on, but you'd hear the... And it was the bird.
That's brilliant.
I know. Funny things that happen. But yeah.
Brilliant. Well, we hope you've enjoyed that. It's been our first podcast, Pillow Fort Show.
Can you believe it?
So we're going to go out and a little bit of music from The
The hardest band in the world to Google.
Yes, it would be. so from me, Richard Gray, and Amy Barker, and of course the Geek Actually team, we thank you for joining us today. We do hope you found us interesting and found some interesting podcasts to listen to as a result of us. You can follow us on our official Twitter at Pillow Fortcast. Or you can follow the Geek Actually Network, ironically, at Geek Actually. If you'd like more information on anything you've heard on today's shows, you can find all the links on our website, podcastpillowfort.com. We hope to see you here next time in the podcast, Pillow Fort.
This morning, 'cause you didn't go to bed. You were watching the whites of your eyes turn.